The Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
We want to get rooted because we're living in a day when families are being uprooted, and in many cases, Christians are being uprooted by the philosophies, the false teachings of this world, and we want to get rooted down. And this morning, our message is entitled, Rooted in a Righteous Relationship with Christ. And so we're going to look at the book of Romans, and we're going to read in chapter number 3 and verse number 23, all the way down through verse number 26, all right? Verse 23, follow with me as I read. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Let's read verse 26 together, shall we? Ready, begin. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You that You justify those who believe in Jesus. We pray today that many on this campus, in this service, and in all the services that will take place today, will know and experience the great joy of being justified by a holy God and before a holy God because of the blood of Jesus. Give me power today to preach the gospel message. Give every person in this auditorium attentiveness, and help us, Lord, to love You more because of what You did for us. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning our message is entitled, Rooted in a Righteous Relationship. Rooted in a Righteous Relationship. And whenever we discuss relationships, whenever we talk about friendships, sometimes we think in terms of what is the strength or what is the foundation of this relationship? Why does this person say they like me or they love me? And what's the bond that holds us together? I heard years ago about a letter that was written. It went like this. Dear Johnny, no words could ever express my unhappiness since I broke off our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. I love you. I love you. I love you. Love always, Jane. P.S. Congratulations on winning the lottery. Now, a lot of times you wonder about something like that. Why is it that all of a sudden that person is interested in me again? Well, when you want to really look at the beginning of relationships, you look into the Bible, into the book of Genesis, and you'll see there that God created, and by the way, God created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were created by God for the purpose of relationship, for the purpose of fellowship. And just as a husband and wife would live their lives with the backdrop of marriage throughout their lives together, that would be the context of their relationship. So it is that when we as Christians live in a relationship with God, He is always there. It is always the backdrop of our lives and really the forefront of our lives as well. And we would say, I need to talk to the Lord about this. I need to get the mind of Christ about this matter. And that was what it was like for Adam and Eve. They had fellowship with God in the garden. He had made a beautiful place for them to reside. I think it is, in many ways, it typifies what heaven will be like. There was no sin there. There was only perfection there. Genesis 2:8 says the Lord planted a garden eastward toward Eden. And it was a beautiful place. God provided Adam with a companion. In Genesis 2:18, it says that God saw that it was not good that man should be alone, and God wanted Adam to have relationship with Him as his God and with Eve as his wife. And then I love the passage that tells us that God walked with Adam and Eve every day. Genesis 3 and verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. How many of you would like to have been alive and walking in the garden and hear the voice of God. Man, talk about having a relationship with God. And Adam and Eve enjoyed such a wonderful time of fellowship with the Lord. And God created them for that fellowship, for that purpose. And it is not God's desire that we would be lonely, nor that we would live apart from fellowship. He created us with that need, with that opportunity for divine fellowship. One author said, people today will admit almost any problem. They'll admit drug problems, divorce, alcoholism, trials of all types. But there is one problem and one trial that many people loathe making in their lives, whether they are movie stars, whether they work in a shop somewhere. It just seems too embarrassing to admit to people that we are sometimes lonely. Loneliness is an affliction, we think, of losers and misfits. But to be honest, loneliness is an affliction that affects every single kind of a person today. And I've got to tell you that God did not create us for loneliness. He does not intend for us to be lonely, but we're going to learn this morning that sin multiplies sorrow, sin isolates people, sin breaks fellowship between us and God, and sin will bring loneliness into our lives and into our relationships every single time. You look at the garden, Adam and Eve, before sin, you see fellowship with God. You look at the garden after sin, you see fellowship was broken with God. And so this morning, as we look at this matter of how to be rooted in Christ, we're going to see that God says, no matter what else has been broken in your life, you can have a relationship that is right with God and that is wholesome and that is encouraging daily to you between you and the Lord walking in fellowship. Now notice in your notes this morning as we consider a relationship with God today, I want you to notice first of all a relationship that was ruined. A relationship ruined. And I want you to see with me in verse 23, a very familiar passage. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now let's say that verse together. Ready, begin. For all simply stated, sin's entrance into the world ruined man's relationship with God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now let's just get off our high horse here and let's admit that all Baptists have sinned. Okay, it's everyone has sinned. In fact, I want you to notice for just a minute that this is a universal ruin, the Bible speaks of. It's a universal problem, for it says, all have sinned. It is inclusive of everyone, for all have sinned. And in the context, in the relationship to Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, in your notes in Romans 5:12, we read these words, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now Adam may be referred to as the federal head of the human race. And when Adam sinned, sin entered into the human race. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but you don't have to teach people how to sin. We don't have to teach the children this morning in the 9-month and 12-month old nursery how to bite one another. They just do it. We don't have to teach them how to take a toy out of the basket and hit someone over the head. Some of you are going to start running to the nurseries to make sure this is not happening. But I'm just telling you, we don't have to teach our children how to sin. They pick it up from their mothers just like that, don't they, fellas? All right, just making sure you're awake with me here this morning, okay? No, in reality, it goes way beyond mom and dad. It goes all the way back to Adam, for as in Adam, all were found in sin. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam, all die. It is an issue that is universal. It is inclusive of all people. And I got to tell you this morning that before we can ever become rooted in Christ, we have to recognize our need for such rootedness. I want you to see that this is not only an inclusive problem, this is an internal problem. It is an internal problem. Now, notice that phrase in verse 23, "For all have sinned." And we're going to see in a moment, the word sin means to miss the mark. It means to violate God's law. Sin is any thought, action, or attitude that contradicts or falls short of God's holy character, God's will, or God's word. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And we as men and women today are unable to accomplish righteousness on our own or in our own merit. The fact is that we might try to keep all the laws of the Bible and we will still fall short in our sin, because the law of the Old Testament simply pointed men and women to their need to be rooted in Jesus Christ, to receive Christ as Savior. In fact, look in your notes at a verse there, James 2:10, which says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Now that's a sobering verse. And it reminds us of the fact that nobody gets to heaven. Nobody is forgiven of their sin because they kept all the law. I get tickled with these fellows who say, well, I think it'll be sort of like this, Pastor Chappell. When I stand up before Peter at the pearly gates, number one, you're not going to stand before Peter, okay? That's problem number one with that. But when I stand before Peter, they tell me, it'll be like this. It'll be like a scales, and if the good outweighs the bad, then I'll be able to go to heaven. And I'm pretty good, so I'm pretty sure that I'm going to go to heaven. Now, I got to tell you, there's no scales like that in heaven. You're not standing before Peter. And if you did, there's not one person on planet Earth whose good is going to be good enough to get them to heaven. Because the scale has already been fundamentally tipped. It's already tipped against us because we're born with a sin problem in Adam. And now the good news we'll see in a moment is that even as by one man sin came into the world, by one man righteousness came into the world and settled that account forever. We're going to see that in just a moment. But right now we need to understand that sin is an internal problem, and you cannot cover sin on your own merit or by trying to keep the laws of the Bible. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 64 that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. In other words, no matter what we try to do to cover our sin, it's never going to be enough. This is a universal ruin that we see here today. I want you to see, secondly, it is a hopeless ruin in the sense that in our sin, we have no hope before God. Look at that verse again, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, how many of you have ever come short of something? Maybe how many of you have ever ran as hard as you can through an airport terminal and missed an airplane? Anybody, or am I the only one? I'm telling you right now, that is frustrating, isn't it? And it's really frustrating when the plane is sitting there and you watch the door shut, and you know they could open that door and let you in, but policy will not have it, and you just came short. How many of you have ever bounced a check? I mean, besides your tithe last week. Come on, talk to me here. Come on. Now, some of you are looking at me like, I ain't never bounced no check. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I know you have. I'm going to tell you right now, when you bounce a check, you have come short. You wrote against a balance that was a fairy tale balance in your mind. And when it bounced, you fell short. I'm saying that falling short is a terrible feeling. It's a terrible thing to come short of a goal or of a mark. But there is no more terrible situation than to fall short of the glory of God, to be left behind, to fall short in the end, the glory of God, lacking the holiness that would glorify God. And as is illustrated by this ladder here this morning, God's glory is high and lifted up, and he alone is perfect, and Jesus Christ was the only perfect man to ever walk on planet Earth. And so we see today that it is a hopeless ruin because on our own we fall short of the glory of God. No matter how good we may be, we still miss the mark. And what a tremendous burden and what a tremendous problem, really, that we would fall short of the glory of God. Now, again, I find people who say, well, you know, I fall short, but not as short as my neighbor. I fall short, but not as short as some really bad people. And so, you know, Pastor Chappell, I understand you're talking about sin, and I understand there's a lot of sinners in this room. I've been looking around, just checking them out. Some of these guys look like they're on the post office wall. I'm pretty sure I've seen them there. There's a lot of sinners here, but I myself. How many of you have noticed we always rationalize ourselves? we always think that we're not quite as bad as the other. So I want to help you with that just a little bit this morning, and just to kind of give you the illustration of some things that maybe would give you an idea this morning. So someone might say, well, I'm not as bad as others, and we might list some people that we think are really bad and that we're a lot better. So help me out a little bit this morning. Most people in here would say, well, I'll tell you right now, I'll tell you, Pastor Chapel, you need to realize that I'm not as bad as some of the people that you might think. I'm not nearly as bad as they. And so let's just take this name here, Osama bin Laden, okay? And many of you would say, well, I'm not as bad as him. Put him way down at the bottom. I mean, that's got to be the worst of the worst. That's got to be the worst of the worst. And you say, I don't think I'm as bad as him. But you know, I'll give you another name this morning, and you think about this with me, because I've heard preachers say, and I've heard this preacher say, Billy Graham, I've heard him say that he, as the Apostle Paul, was the chief of sinners. I know for a fact that he would tell you that he's right down there with Osama bin Laden. Theologically, his place, he would tell you, is as a sinner, depraved, and without Jesus Christ, it is a hopeless ruin. He would say, if you're going to put me anywhere, put me down towards the bottom. He would say, I don't come anywhere near God. Now, I don't know where you would put yourself. Maybe you'd put yourself somewhere between Osama and Billy. I don't know. Maybe you'd put yourself maybe this far or maybe this far. But I think if you really begin to study it out scripturally, you're going to find that in reality, none of us get as close to God on our own merit as we really would desire. And so there is a relationship that has been ruined. That relationship with God that Adam and Eve had, that relationship that God wants us to enjoy with Him, we fall short of the glory of God. Even the best amongst us that we might say are so great and so perfect in our thoughts still fall short of the glory of God. And so a relationship has been ruined because of sin. Now, you may be a guest here. You may be a person who's been here many, many times. But the Bible is very clear that we all fall short of the glory of God. If you're a guest today and you have no church background, where I'm not preaching at you, I'm saying all of us in this room, all of us who are members of this church, on our own merit, we fall short of the glory of God. It's a relationship that was ruined by sin. Adam and Eve experienced, first of all, being cast out of the garden because of their sin. But notice, if you would, secondly with me this morning, a relationship restored. A relationship restored. Now, how can a man whose relationship with God was broken by the federal head of the human race, by Adam, and as we are born in sin, how can we be restored in our relationship to God? And let me tell you something this morning. It is far more rewarding to resolve a conflict than to dissolve a relationship. And we're talking now about how to restore this relationship with God. How can this be made right? I heard about a little boy that was sitting on the front steps of his house. He had his hands down in his face down in his hands, and he was looking kind of forlorn and frustrated. And his dad walked up to him and he said, "Hey, buddy, what's wrong?" And the little guy looked up at his dad. He said, "Well, Dad, just between us, I'm having trouble getting along with your wife, too." You know, in life, we live with broken relationships, strained relationships. How many of you would agree with me? If there's a way to make our relationship right with God, we want to find that way. We don't want to live with a broken relationship with God. And so let me share with you this morning how that relationship can be restored. First of all, I want you to see that there is a righteousness that is declared. Notice in verse 24 of this chapter, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely by His grace. We are declared just or right by the grace of God. And notice what it says in verse 24, being justified freely. So if a person is justified with God, if they are restored in a relationship with God, it's not going to be something that they purchase. It's not going to be something that they earn. It's something that is going to come freely by the grace of God to them. And Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 speaks of this. Notice what it says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation is not of my works. It's not of my keeping the law. Salvation is a gift that comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to capture that this morning, that we are justified freely. And I want you to see, secondly, that we are redeemed forever. When someone receives Christ, when someone is declared righteous, it is forever, the Bible says, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now notice that word redemption. It means that we are released from the payment. It means that we have been ransomed. And what a blessing to know that as a sinner, the Bible says, the wages of my sin is death, and I have a payment that is due, and it is separation from God, just like Adam. The wages of my sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord because he redeems us forever. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now my friends, this matter of being redeemed means that we are bought with the price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are declared righteous, not because of our works or our denomination. We are declared righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ that is applied to our account. We are forgiven. We are redeemed forever because of Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 24, it is through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. It is a righteousness that is declared. But notice, secondly, there is a payment that is made. We are declared righteous because Jesus Christ has made the payment for our sin. How many of you are thankful for that this morning? Now let's look at the verse that explains that, verse 25. It says, whom God, speaking of Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now look up right here for just a moment. I want you to really understand this. What I am preaching to you this morning is not my opinion. It's not this church's opinion. What I'm about to tell you about how to have your relationship restored with God is not merely Baptist doctrine. I want you to know that what I am preaching to you has been set forth by God himself. And in verse 25, the Bible says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now, recognize then that God has a way for our sin to be paid for. And that way is called propitiation in this particular verse. Now, don't run from that word. Stay with me for just a second. Matter of fact, just for fun, let's say it together, shall we? Propitiation. All right, say it again. Propitiation. All right, propitiation. The word propitiation is a word that simply means a covering or the appeasement of the just and holy demands of God. And so when it says that the payment has been made by a propitiation, God has set forth Jesus to be the covering. God has set forth Jesus to make the covering for the sins that each of us have committed. And he says this covering has been made by Christ and by Christ alone. And the word here, hilasterion, is an interesting word. The covering speaks of the mercy seat. It's the same word that we read concerning the mercy seat of the Old Testament. Some of you might recall in Leviticus chapter 16, and some of you have heard about the Ark of the Covenant. And you've heard about the Day of Atonement. And on that day, in Jewish history and in Jewish life, two goats, two innocent and pure goats were taken, and they were chosen for sacrifice. One goat was slain, and the blood was taken into the Holy of Holies, and the blood was sprinkled on the top of the mercy seat on the Day of Atonement. That blood, as it was shed, covered the tables that were inside the Ark of the Covenant, the tables of the law, listen carefully, just like Jesus' blood covers our shortcomings and our sin and our failures. There it was, a picture, the blood on the mercy seat covering over the law that was held inside the ark. And the shed blood meant temporarily that the righteous demand of God was met. It was a picture of the coming Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. But in that moment, the high priest shed the blood on the mercy seat as a covering for the sins of Israel. Then the priest would go to the other goat, and he would put his hands on that goat, and he would let that goat free out into the countryside, signifying the fact that our sins are as far as the east is from the west. And all of this symbolized what Jesus would ultimately do on the cross of Calvary. That's why we read in 1 John 4 and verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sin." So the word propitiation means a covering, and God says to us, "I sent my Son to be the covering for your sin." You say, "Well, I've been confirmed, and I went to catechism, and I have a Sunday school pen." God does not say that any of that covers sin. He says, "I sent my Son to cover your sin." Jesus Christ alone covers our sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You say, "Well, I've been a Baptist for this long." And I say to you, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this payment for our sin that was made, this payment is activated by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the shedding of his blood. And I want you to see that in verse 25. It says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation," notice this now, "through faith in his blood." So there must then be a point in our lives when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we trust in him and him alone as our Savior. Under the Old Testament law, righteousness came then by behaving. But under the gospel, righteousness comes by believing, by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in your notes there at Romans 3:22. It says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Romans 4 and verse 5, notice what it says. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now, notice this morning that we must put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come to a place where we say, "I'm not trusting in a denomination, I'm not trusting in a religion, I'm not trusting in a culture, I'm trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, may I remind you today that faith is only as good as its object. And listen very, very carefully. You say, "Well, I am a Pentecostal, I'm a Buddhist, I'm this, I'm that." Hold on one second. Faith is only as good as its object. And I want you to bear in mind that God has set forth Jesus Christ to be the covering for our sin. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, the scriptures say, "Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." In other words, the devils believe that there is a God, but they certainly do not believe in Jesus Christ. And so today we're not speaking about gods or a god or many gods. We're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not speaking about mental affirmation that Jesus existed. We're speaking about believing, which means trusting him wholly, putting our complete faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is activated by faith. If you want that payment to be applied to your account, if you want to know that your sins are forgiven, then there must be a faith that is placed in the person and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that atonement is made for by Christ alone. Look at your notes again in verse 25, what it says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Now, God says that I am going to declare my righteousness by forgiving you. Your sins are going to be completely forgiven because of the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Now, my friend, look right here and hear this very carefully. Salvation is free, but it is not cheap. Jesus paid a great price for our salvation. And the truth of the matter is today that all of us, no matter who we are in this room, we're going to come short of the glory of God. And the fact is today, if I can get back behind this tree, there is one way that a man, woman, boy, or girl can have a relationship with God or can be reconciled to God, and that is by way of the cross of Jesus Christ. It is only when a person sees and understands that Jesus Christ paid the price for my sin. He shed his blood on that cross. Salvation is free, but it is not cheap. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary after having lived a perfectly sinless life. He was tempted in every way like we are, but he never sinned. And Jesus Christ, as he lived that perfectly sinless life, was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He was sold for a few pieces of silver. He then went up the hill of the skull, Golgotha, and there the Roman soldiers placed the nails through his hands and the nails through his feet and the spear through his side, and the blood came flowing. And when he did that, he himself became our mercy seat, and he himself made our redemption possible. He is our propitiation. He is our covering. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And I say to you this morning, if you want to have access to God, it will come by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't come by thinking I'm better than Osama, I'm almost as good as Billy, I'm a little better than Sam, my neighbor. You see, they are not the standard. Jesus Christ and Christ alone gives us access to God, the Heavenly Father. Look in your notes at Revelation 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain for our sins. And how we must thank God for a relationship restored. Because we start down here with a relationship that is ruined. We fall short of the glory of God. And even as Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, we do not have fellowship with God. And the fact of the matter is, and some would say, well, I have fellowship with God every Christmas and every Easter, and sometimes I think about him in between. I'm not talking about having religion. I'm talking about having a relationship. Please remember, this message is not about religion. This message is about relationship. And true Christianity is about having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And God hath set forth this Jesus to be the propitiation for our sin. And so we see a relationship that is ruined, but because of the cross, we see a relationship that is restored. I want you to see finally with me this morning a relationship that is reinstated. A relationship that is reinstated. Now look at this, if you would, in verse 26. It says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, God who is righteous, watch this very carefully, God who is righteous and holy cannot allow sinners into heaven, cannot allow those into heaven who have not been covered, who have not been atoned for. So God has declared himself righteous and declares us righteous based upon the merit of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a righteous God in letting the sinner off because a payment has been made. So he says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. Now, may I share with you this morning that we cannot be right with one another until we are first right with God. And we must recognize this relationship is reinstated, letter A, because God's righteousness is satisfied. God's righteousness is satisfied through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, listen now, through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do I have peace with God? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say it with me. How do I have peace with God? Through. It does not say through the church or through our works or any other thing that we want to place in there. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation. He is the mercy seat. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is none other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we sing of his name, and that's why we praise his name, because he is the justifier. He is the one who declares us to be righteous. Now, only God can declare a sinner righteous, because it is only his law that the sinner offended. He made it possible for us to be set free from that condemnation through the payment of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So his righteousness is satisfied. Notice secondly, because God's people are justified. We as his people can be justified through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now friends, I have seen in different places around this world, people who try to appease the gods for their sin. I have seen people in Hindu temples, listen now, I have seen them burning themselves at a burning altar in order to try to get the demon powers out from their life. I have seen in the Philippines men who have cut themselves, and some who have even strapped themselves to a cross in order to try to appease God. I have seen in Central America men and women who have crawled up the steps of their church until their knees were filled with blood, hoping somehow to appease God, hoping somehow to find forgiveness for some sin that they have done. I have seen with my own eyes in various different places people who have put money into a slot and then told a man their sin, hoping that man would tell God, hoping that somehow they could be justified. And I'm saying to you today that there is no stone God, there is no fire God, there is no man on this earth who can ever in a million years give you access to God. There is one way that you can be justified. There is one person that has paid the price, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 4 and verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Salvation has always been by faith in the Lord and in his word. Romans 4 and verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, listen now, his faith is counted for righteousness. When you put your faith in Jesus, it is counted for righteousness. All of us have a sin debt. All of us are separated from God. But listen carefully now. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that sin debt is washed away. Your sins are washed away as far as the east is from the west. We are washed from our sin by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith without the works or deeds of the law. This is God's plan of salvation. So I ask you this morning, are you rooted in a righteous relationship with Christ? You are only declared righteous by God through Christ. I'm not asking you today what church you join or whether granddaddy was a Baptist or a Catholic or a Methodist. Thank God for good people in your family lineage, but those good people will not speak for you before a holy God. There is one that speaks for you, and that one is Jesus. And the blood that was shed speaks, and it says, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. And when you are under the blood, if you will, then you know that you are forgiven, and you know that you are justified. And you know it has nothing to do with you, and it has everything to do with Jesus Christ. Now, you may not have realized your need for a restored relationship with God, because the devil is an expert at creating religions. The devil is very religious, and don't doubt for a minute the devil believes in God. Even while he hates the cross, even while he hates the message I preach today, there are many people who do not seem to sense their need for restoration with God because, after all, they're religious, and after all, they have a religion. But perhaps this morning you're seeing more clearly, it's not by religion. It's not by what we do. It's by what he has done. It's not by what we will do. It is by what he has done on the cross of Calvary. And I was thinking last night as I prayed for this message of the words of Jesus on the cross of Calvary after he had had the crown of thorns placed upon his head, after the blood had been flowing down, after he gave six of the seven sayings on the cross and he told John to care for his mother. And after all of the sorrow and suffering, Jesus finally lifted up one last time and found enough breath and strength, humanly speaking, to say, "It is finished." Religion says, keep on trying. Jesus says, it is finished. And when you come to that place of saying, you know what? I'm somewhere between here and here, Brother Chapel, Pastor Chapel. I admit I'm a sinner. I understand that first point, a relationship ruined because all have sinned. But I don't want to stay in this state. I want to be restored to God. And when you come to the place of saying, I believe restoration comes through faith in his blood, and you come to God and you say, God, I come to you as a sinner. I'm not going to try to tell you how good I've been, how I give to the March of Dimes, how I've been through catechism or church membership. Lord, I'm not going to try to impress you with my credentials. I'm just going to be honest, God, because you know me. I am a sinner. And God, I come to you as a sinner, and I turn to your Son, Jesus Christ, by faith in his blood. I ask you to cover me and forgive me and come into my heart and save me. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he will forgive your sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your account, and you can leave this place today having a restored relationship, having been reinstated into fellowship that was lost all the way back in the Garden of Eden, knowing that Christ is your Savior. I'm going to tell you, there is a way, and Jesus is the way. You go out to work tomorrow and say, what'd you do yesterday? Well, I went to the Baptist church. Really? Well, I was half drunk before the Super Bowl started. You went to church? Wow. What'd they talk about at that church? Well, Jesus. Jesus. Right here is the center of the message. The cross of Jesus Christ. Don't miss it. Don't miss it while you sit there convincing yourself that your religion's enough. Don't miss it while you sit there convincing yourself that you're going to be okay if you can just, you know, kind of make it through this service. Don't miss the fact that there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And God hath set forth this Jesus to be our propitiation. Don't miss the simplicity of it, that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. There is one way that we might have our sins forgiven, and that propitiation, that covering, that mercy seat is Jesus Christ the Lord.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.